Sermon text this morning is Genesis 1, verse 1, to Genesis 2, verse 3. Genesis 1, 1 to Genesis 2, 3. Now hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and then gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. The heavens declare your glory, O God. Day to day utters speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. In the heavens you have set a tabernacle for the sun. It's rising from one end of heaven to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Your law is perfect, converting the soul. Your commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. Your judgments are true and righteous, to be more desired than gold, sweeter than honey. By them we are warned. Keeping them is great reward. Keep us back from presumptuous sins. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are heaven or create, variations of the word create, creation, creator, created, create and heaven. Brothers and sisters in Lord Jesus Christ, you may have noticed that there is much conflict in the world. And there is conflict between those who are of the world and those who are of the Christian faith. Many of the world hate God and they hate His truth. Sadly, even some in the church reject what God has clearly revealed. So I start with this question for you to consider. What do you think is the most controversial verse in the whole Bible? What is the most controversial verse? What comes to mind? Now, one can make the point that the most controversial verse isn't in Leviticus, speaking of marriage and sexuality. It isn't in Jesus calling his people to hate father and mother. Or which people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some might even say it's not the eternal torment that awaits the wicked. One could argue that the most controversial verse in the whole Bible is the very first one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This first verse and this first chapter reveals to us that there is a God. And He is the Creator. And He made everything. As much as one might think or be tempted to think that the world revolves around himself, Genesis 1 teaches us that we are not the center of the universe. Genesis 1 and Genesis 1:1 are God-centric. Creation is God-centric. Worship is God-centric. In the beginning, God. Before anything else, God. God created. The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, created from the very beginning. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the spirit of his mouth. God created from the very beginning. He created all things out of nothing. Creatio ex nihilo, created out of nothing. In your liturgies, in the inside cover, Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Meaning God created out of nothing. And he is completely distinct from all creation. And all the other ancient creation accounts from other false religions, God did not make the heavens and the earth out of created matter. He created all the matter. He brought it forth from nothing. He spoke it into existence. He created and formed the earth on which we live. Everything is from God. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you're tempted to think that the world revolves around you, you'll see in Genesis 1 that we read of 5 whole days of God's cosmic activities in the universe before we get to any talk of humans, any mention, any activities related to humans. 5 days we had to wait in creation. This does not mean that humans don't matter. It doesn't mean that humans are low in importance due to that 6th day of creation. This simply means that creation is not all about humanity. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. Despite what the t-shirt tells you, it's not all about me. In creation, God stretched out the heavens like a garment. And those heavens declare His glory, not my glory. Those heavens talk. Those heavens proclaim. Can you hear them? They tell you how great and glorious God is. How He laid the foundations of the earth, that the earth should never be moved forever. He marked them out with wisdom. God created. And He continued to create throughout that first week. The creation in which we live is not a deistic creation. That God is completely apart from this creation. The God of the Bible, the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, has been intricately involved in creation from the very beginning. Now, in that beginning, God made a good and glorious creation. He can't help Himself. He makes good and glorious things. But His first assessment of His creation demonstrated that He could make it better. For in the beginning, that second verse, just to warn you, we're going to chip away at this verse by verse. That second verse, the Lord revealed that creation was less than ideal. There's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't sinful. It wasn't fallen. But it could be better. And God immediately addressed that. In the second verse, God reveals that His original creation was formless, empty, and dark. 3 things that He responded to right away to address. Not sinful situations, but situations that He could make better. These 3 aspects didn't demonstrate deficiencies on God's part to make a great and glorious creation. They reveal to us that God takes good things and makes them better. You've heard that before. God takes good things and He makes them better. He can take a perfect, unfallen creation and He can make it perfecter. To make perfect better is to make it perfecter. Our holy and righteous God changed perfect creation from the first day onward to the formlessness. Boys and girls, what did He do to the formlessness? He provided form. God divided, God separated, providing form to creation, not a big ball of water, unformed. Day 1, He separated light from darkness. And that addresses the darkness in creation too. The Holy Spirit glory cloud emanating light on creation addressed the darkness. And the separating addressed the formlessness. Day two, what did he separate? The waters below from the waters above. He inserted a firmament in the heavens. Day three, what did he separate? The waters from the dry land. So the first 3 days of creation, separated. That's what he did the first 3 days. And that addressed the formlessness. How did he address the emptiness? He filled. The next 3 days, God filled. He filled the areas that corresponded to the first 3 days. So the fourth day corresponds to the first. The first was light and darkness. What did he fill on the fourth day? How did he fill? Sun, moon, stars, light. Day four goes to day one. The fifth day, he addressed those waters. The waters below he filled with sea creatures. The waters above he filled with birds. So day two goes with day five. Now they have form, and he's addressing the emptiness. Day six corresponds to day three, the dry land. God filled the dry land with land animals. Cattle according to its kind. Even those creeping things that make you screech, that scare you, that are ungodly huge in Alabama. He made those on the sixth day to fill the earth. And he made human beings in his image. Father, Son, Spirit, the triune God said, let us make man in our image. So this creation week, this first chapter of our Bibles, reveals a good and glorious God who created a perfect creation and is also involved in works to make things better. On day three, God began to bring forth vegetation. He made seed plants. He made fruit trees. But this was not exhaustively done. It wasn't all of a sudden creation was filled with trees and plants. All of a sudden God grew hair out of creation. No, he seeded the ground that growing would continue into the future, and plants continue to grow. God didn't fill the waters with an exhaustive amount of sea creatures. He created sea creatures and charged them to multiply. He did the same thing with the birds, the land animals, and the humans. He gave creation potential for growth. It wasn't finished. Boys and girls, who is the Lord and giver of life? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. So all of the growing, all of the multiplying of the seed plants, the fruit trees, the animals, will be by the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Because all of God's creatures have God's good breath of life in them. As his created animals continue to multiply, this would be by the sovereign life-giving and the sustaining grace of the Spirit. God is still imminently involved. Animals still procreate. Humans still procreate. It's all by the life-giving grace of God. Yes. Each day of creation began with an evening and moved toward a morning. The days move from darkness to light. Now, before the fall, darkness was not sinful. Who creates darkness? God. darkness was not sinful. But his movement from darkness, even on the first day, his movement from darkness to light reveals a direction to creation. A direction within a day of something onto something better. From darkness to light, from evening to morning. The day is moving in a direction. The creation week itself began with creation and moves toward seventh day rest. Creation itself has a direction. Each day gets better, more glorious, with a view toward final, consummated rest in history. So again, God's good creation, the heavens and the earth, were headed for something better, something more glorious. Now, while we all can agree that we aren't the center of the universe, mankind isn't the center of the universe, God's creation of mankind on the sixth day was significant. God had a reason for it. On the sixth day, the triune God made human beings in his image and likeness. God made men and women equally in his image to reflect. Image, reflection. Men and women reflect God's knowledge, his righteousness, his holiness in ruling over creation. He is the king over all of creation, and he has put mankind, men and women, and charged us to rule over creation in his image. And we do that by reflecting God to creation, reflecting his righteousness, his holiness, his knowledge. What does it mean to be an image bearer? It is to reflect. So when others look at you, look how you live, look how listen to how you speak, they ought to be reminded of God. You image righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. Being made in the image of God was an incredibly gracious gift. God didn't make the sea creatures, the birds, the animals in his image. He didn't make them in his likeness. They were good aspects of his creation, but only human beings were made in his image. Only you, not your dog. And with grace comes responsibility. God made mankind to be his image bearers, his representatives ruling over the world. And he demonstrates that to us in the two domains of the universe, heaven and earth. The two domains of creation, heaven and earth. Boys and girls, who resides, who lives in heaven? God. God resides in the heavens. The world is us, his image bearers. We rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing on the earth. Creation belongs to God, and he entrusted it to human beings. He made good things, and then he made them better. And he reveals to us in Genesis 1, this is how we're supposed to do it too. Here's a creation that God made. He made it glorious, and then he made it more glorious. He made it perfecter. Now you take care of it. You rule over it. And that's your pattern. Brothers and sisters, make good things with creation. This is part of the subduing that we carry out. Change the world. Make the world serve you by making it into something better. Look at that direction that we're headed. In the day and through history, we're moving somewhere, moving on into the future. God made creation, and he would move it from glory to glory. And he made man to be his agent of change working in creation. The deistic view of creation, that God is sitting in his recliner, watching creation, hoping everything works out, is a false view. He's everywhere in creation, working, changing, making it better. And that's by his gracious Holy Spirit working through us. For the Holy Spirit creates and the Holy Spirit renews. The continuing changing of creation is through Holy Spirit-empowered image bearers. The changing of creation be by vessels of the Holy Spirit. As you look through each creation day, you learn what God did in creation each creation day and how that affects how you live. You'll notice that God declared each day good. In the conclusion of the week, he declared very good. He provided, on day three, he provided partial rest for man in seed plants and fruit trees. He reveals in day four that halfway through the week, halfway through history, he shows enthronement, the enthronement of the sun and the moon that points to final enthronement by God in eternal Sabbath rest. And this is how we are to work. Work, change, sit down and rest. Eat food for life to complete the tasks. Work toward completion, final rest. Have you had a good week? Have you had a busy week? Have you accomplished much this week? Because that first week, God got a lot done. And you were made in his image. You need to get a lot done. And then when that work is done, you sit down, you put your feet up, and you rest. Now, boys and girls, which is the only day in the creation week that God did not declare good? Every day he said was good except one. It was the second day. The second day when God made the firmament to separate the earthly waters below from the heavenly waters above. That day ended, evening, morning, without God's assessment of it being good. Think to yourself, why was that day not declared good? Why was day one and day three declared good? 4, 5, 6, good unto very good. But day two, no assessment, no judgment. Well, on the second day, God separated heaven from earth. He inserted a shell firmament. Creation was still good. It was not fallen. It wasn't a bad creation. That firmament declared his glory. But we've seen in creation that God made good things, but they weren't ideal. They could be better. So in that second day, God had something better, something more glorious in mind. So let me ask you this question. What could be more glorious than heaven and earth divided? Heaven and earth united? Would that be more glorious? Would that be perfecter than day two? The firmament was a temporary aspect of the original creation. It was a temporary separation. God ruling in his heavenly throne room, humanity ruling over creation below. For a time. For in creation, God revealed, God taught mankind how to be like God, how to change the world from glory to glory. And our task on earth is to be like God on earth as he is in heaven. And we are to change earth to look like heaven. We are to heavenize the earth. That's his design for creation. Make creation like heaven. And when that task is completed, that temporary firmament will be removed, taken down, and heaven and earth will be united, and God will be all in all. Heaven and earth united. That's your application. Go make the earth look like heaven. Go do it. You know what you need to do. Go do it. How? How do you make the earth look like heaven? Well, God showed Moses on Sinai the blueprint of heaven for the tabernacle. Later, he showed David the blueprint in heaven for the temple. And each Lord's Day, we ascend into heaven on Mount Zion, and he reveals to us his will for the earth. He shows us the blueprint. This is what you are to do to make earth look like heaven. We just prayed it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. So that means God's will in heaven, we want done on earth. That's his design. Make the earth better. Change it. And since we have the life-giving breath of the Spirit, he works through us to accomplish his will on earth. He affects his will through your human hands. We are the agents of change in the creation, even in the new creation. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, where's Christ? In heaven. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So why above? That's where God is. Our citizenship is in heaven. When you are saved, why doesn't the Lord just call you to heaven right away? Let's get you out of here. Someplace far better for you up there. You don't need that earth. That creation stuff, it's stinky and dirty. You don't need that anymore. Let's get you up to heaven right away. No. He still has a design for heaven. He still cares for earth. He still cares what happens on the earth. Are Christians to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good? No. You're to be heavenly minded to be earthly good. There's still work to do. By us, by the power of the Spirit who renews the face of the earth. The work of the church, the redeemed humanity on earth, our work is more than the spiritual work of evangelism and soul saving. We're not just out there evangelizing, proclaiming the gospel. We are working to make the world better. Faithfully affecting God's will on earth. To change the world. Is earth glorious? Yes. Is the Grand Canyon glorious? Niagara Falls? The wonders of the world, are they glorious? Yes. But what's more glorious? Heaven. So when we ascend into heaven in worship, God teaches us what we are to do. And then we descend and go back out into the world to do it, to work for him faithfully. And when we are faithful, the Spirit works through us to change the world. When you love your neighbor, that changes the world. When you do a good job at your place of employment, that changes the world. We aren't Gnostic. We know creation is good. And God cares about creation. He cares about the world. He wants his will done here. So when we look back at Genesis 1, this is not something we just refer to for our Christian education to show that he created all things in 6 days. That's certainly true. But Genesis 1 is more than that. Genesis 1 is real application for human beings. It really matters for what you do now. Because God was king over creation in the beginning, and guess what? He's king over creation right now. We confessed earlier, or we heard earlier, Colossians 1. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things he may have preeminence. Right now, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. I asked you what the most controversial verse is in the Bible. What's your go-to verse for eschatology? Is it Genesis 1? We're moving in a direction. Look back to the beginning to be reminded of our task. Everything we have in the beginning, everything in creation, everything revealed in his word shows us how we bring change to creation. How we bring it from glory to glory to final glorified consummation on the last day. And rejoice in this glorious world that he has established and will never be moved. Be confident in that. As confident as you are about the 6 days of creation. Be confident that the Lord is bringing the world and you from glory to glory. Be confident of that and get to work. Exercise dominion to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who has filled the world with beauty, open our eyes to behold your gracious hand in all your works, so that rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness. For the sake of him through whom all things were made, grant that as we probe the mysteries of your creation, we may come to know you more truly and more surely fulfill our role in your eternal purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his name we pray. Amen.